Just a few thoughts here in Genesis 32 about the name change of Jacob to Israel. Well, he's been wrestling with the angel, wrestling with God, and we're told in Hosea that he wrestled with God and prevailed. And yet he didn't prevail. It was, as it were, a stalemate. And then the angel touches his thigh, and that could possibly refer not so much to his physical hip, but actually to his reproductive organs, although it was manifest in a physical limp. The angel touched his thigh and he becomes powerless. But he desperately clings to the angel, begging to receive the true blessing, the Abrahamic blessing of forgiveness and acceptance, whereas his whole life he's been so focused on getting the material blessing. That's why he deceived his father Isaac to get the blessing. It's why he deceived Esau out of his birthright over the stew. And so now he realizes that this is the only thing, the only blessing that's worth having. And he begs to be blessed. And he is. And that's why when he meets Esau in the next chapter, he says, I saw you, as it were, in the face of the angel, and I have all and abound. So take away, the Hebrew says, take away my blessing, because God's been gracious to me and I have all things. So he makes the final connection that, in fact, the physical blessing, the blessing of materialism, which he so sought, was actually not at all what he wanted. He asks Esau to take it away, to take it back, because he has got God's grace, and that's all that's important. And yet we notice that he wrestles with God, as it were, to a stalemate. And you think, well, why, how can that be if God is all-powerful? Well, God is all-powerful, but he is also not a manipulator. He is not simply pulling strings in human life and forcing people. He is very respectful and sensitive towards human beings, towards our free will. And he allows Jacob that free will, and yet they come to this kind of stalemate where he is begging the angel in the end for blessing, and he is rendered powerless. But he wins in the sense that he is given the blessing that he wants, which God anyway wanted to give him. And so it's really a picture of his own human strength being pitted against God, and God not immediately just disabling him, because God so respects human free will. And so he is asked, what is your name, in verse 28? Well, the normal way in biblical Hebrew of inquiring about a person's literal name would be to ask, who are you? But Jacob is asked, what is your name? And I think that that's significant, because a name in Hebrew sums up a person's character. It sums up the essence of a person. And of course, Jacob has to say, well, my name is Jacob. Deceiver, grabber, supplanter. You know, he grabbed his brother's heel in the womb. He wanted to grab hold of material blessing. He wanted to be first when he was the last. And he's told, okay, no more. Your name will be Israel, which means something like God rules. That's really, I think, the essence of Israel. God is king. And of course, if God is king, that means that God has prevailed and Jacob is less than God. And so God does prevail in the end in this wrestling match, although in another sense, as Hosea says, it was Jacob who prevailed because he got the blessing. He prevailed to allow God to prevail over him. And so it's a beautiful example of the mutuality between God and man. Once we surrender, he wins, and we want him to win. We want his blessing. We want him to win. And so that angel with whom he wrestled, I think, represented men like Isaac, Laban, Esau, with whom Jacob had wrestled. And he basically says to Esau, I saw your face last night. And he saw his face in the face of the angel. And he was preserved from destruction by Esau. Esau was coming out with 400 men to kill him. And, well, that didn't happen. And all goes well because of this wrestling with the angel, because he was given this blessing by the angel, his life was spared by the angel, just as it was by Esau. So this is a wonderful example of the absolute mutuality between God and man that is not at all based upon God manipulating and pulling strings and forcing people. And that is why the term God of Jacob or God of Israel is by far the most common title for God throughout the Old Testament. Far more common than, for example, the God of Abraham or the God of David. It is always the God of Israel or the God of Jacob. And remember, whenever you read Israel, well, it is a reference to the historical Jacob. He was called Israel by God, but it was still a reference to the historical Jacob. And yet, even after this incident, Jacob still struggles with the wonder of it all, like we do. And whenever he talks about God, for most of his life, he talks about the God of my father, the God of my father Isaac, the God of my father Abraham. And it's not until he is pretty much on his deathbed and blessing his sons that he starts openly to keep on talking about my God. He talks about the God of your father, he says to his sons. In other words, my God. And he says, the Rock of Israel. He was Israel, Jacob. He uses his new name. He's like a kid with a new toy, although he's at the end of his life now. He finally accepts that this God is my God. Well, he lived a long life, and yeah, he should have got there before he did, but he got there finally, that this is all wonderfully true, that God has won in my life, that I have let him win, as it were. I begged and wrestled with that angel for his blessing, and I received it. And my life was preserved. I was shown God's grace. His grace has triumphed over me, and I have allowed it to triumph over me. God is King, Israel.